101.7 The Truth. Tory Lowe. Tory Lowe Show live from American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue. The movement continues. The marathon continues right here on 101.7 The Truth. Thank you for joining me for the third hour of the Tory Lowe Show. And we got guests. Look, this is a story that we've been talking about this week of the 12-year-old girl that they accused of kidnapping her 4-year-old sibling, her brother, and they had a felony warrant for her arrest due to an incident with a police officer. They said that she abducted her sibling, and we have family members in studio right now. I really wanted to know what was really going on with the situation. And so the cousin made a Facebook post right after the show. Somebody tagged me in it, and we have the family in the studio right now. And I appreciate y'all for coming in, because I was like, hey, we got to get the truth about what took place, because to me, it didn't resonate that a 12-year-old girl would be acting this way unless she was defending mm-hmm. her brother.
Yes.
How you doing?
How you doing today?
What's going on?
I'm, kind of emotional wreck a little bit, just going through the motions, trying to figure everything out.
Now, when you talk about a 12-year-old girl, a lot of people in the community was like, something ain't right. And when you talk about somebody that's abducting a child, you're thinking, okay, this is somebody that has no ties to this kid. It seems like the story is it have to be something else. You got on live. You made a post. You was trying to tell the community that this story that was out, the narrative.
Yes.
Was faulty.
Yeah, yes. Facts.
It was faulty.
Talk directly into the mic so people can hear y'all, what y'all are saying. Because that I want to know the truth. We want to understand, from at least to the best of y'all knowledge, what happened.
First, let me say this. I'm not here to bash nobody or throw nobody under the bus. I just feel like a family member told the police something. The police told the news something. The news ran with that.
Mm.
And I didn't like the what they was trying to put out, the persona of a 12-year-old armed and dangerous. I feel like if you know some officers, they take that kind of serious, so they've seen the 12-year-old probably want to harm her.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get the record straight. So by me having a large platform, I said I'm gonna use my platform,
because you're a comedian.
Yes, and so I said what I said, and I'll just re-speak of facts. When I said, They not kidnapped. She didn't abduct her brother. They not missing.
Mm-hmm.
And out the gate, a lot of people thought I had them. Mm-hmm. No, me and my family, we do a lot of calling around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the FBI, because the FBI got involved when the Amber Alert went out with the police. And that's how me and my cousin found them. We made some calls. We told the police where they was. And that's how they ended up finding them.
Mm.
And
so they weren't missing, per se. They were somewhere else.
Yes.
Other than the residence they stay at.
Yes.
Correct.
And so the narrative came out to the police from those that stayed in their residence.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Because we just seen them and had them on Thanksgiving.
They were just with you at Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. My little niece, she was with me on Thanksgiving.
So when I talked about it on the show, a lot of people started chiming in. Different scenarios. Hey, look, this can't be possible, because this is not a behavior of someone that would do, especially when it's a young girl and a little boy,
mm-hmm.
and they siblings.
Right.
This is more like, I'm protecting him.
Exactly.
Yes. And I didn't understand, because I did it. After the video went viral, and I got contact, because I was reading, I inboxed the news. I'm trying to find out why y'all putting a false narrative on a 12-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. That's not true. And other thing, like I said, I'm not here to bash nobody. I just want to know the truth. Mm-hmm. I want to hear from her side what they done to her or what was they doing, you know what I'm saying, to make her feel like that she wasn't safe there.
Well, let me just say, first off, when it aired, I was asleep. I had multiple calls coming in that morning. So when I woke up at 4:30, because I always get up at that time, my stepsister called me. And she said, "Sis, did you see the news? Shania on there for abduction." I said, "Abducting who?"
Oh, wow.
"I haven't seen the news. So let's rerun it. Let's air it." So when I cut the TV on and I seen it, I immediately called District 5. "Hey, I'll be down there. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you what's going on, because this narrative that's going on, that's false. My nieces just went home Monday. And if something was to go down, I was the first point of contact," which I was, but I missed that phone call when it came in. That first phone call she made to me mm-hmm. on Tuesday evening was at 8:30. That was the first call.
Right.
And those calls kept coming in until they fell asleep, because they were supposed to have came to my home.
Wow.
So I dropped my kids off at school and I headed straight to District 5. When I went into District 5, I said, "Hold on, I'm here to speak to y'all because this narrative is false. Let me call her up." Immediately, I dialed my niece. She picked up on the third ring and we started talking. You see, so when the police was asking her question and trying to get the location and everything, she wasn't going to give that up, because at that time, I don't want to go back. The other officers that I spoke to, after I spoke to them, they took me back. So if you want to negotiate, let's negotiate. I'll tell you everything that's going on from start to finish, but you're not taking me back. So for a whole 3 hours, they were talking. And I said, "You know, niece, just give them the location. You know, we'll come and get you guys, pick you up. We have to clear out this critical Amber Alert. It's an Amber Alert out on you that you took your brother or whatever. We know it's false. Let's get rid of this first." And that's exactly what we did.
Well, for those that are tuning in, I want to get everybody up to speed on this situation. A 12-year-old young girl was actually being accused of abducting her 4-year-old brother and still in the car. Mm-hmm. I mean, this story kind of gave me a vibe where I felt that maybe they had the narrative wrong. And when I seen... Jermaine, when I seen your post, thank you for coming in, because we got to make sure that we get the correct information out here to the public. Mm-hmm. We got the article that we saw that we played on the show. I want to play this audio for those that are listening. We have the cousins of these young people, this young girl and the 4-year-old boy in studio. This is a clip from earlier this week. Mm-hmm. If you watch this, we broadcast live. We got video. Let's listen.
More time. That's what prosecutors say is needed in the case that made headlines just a few days ago as police scoured the city looking for the 12-year-old girl and her younger brother. Initially, Milwaukee police said the two were last seen near 5th and Hadley Tuesday night. Police said it was believed the 12-year-old girl possibly had a gun and was in an SUV. Prosecutors say the two were gone for about 8 hours. Police records show the girl was arrested more than 40 blocks away to the west, near 48th and Hadley, Wednesday morning. Thursday afternoon, the girl appeared in juvenile court, charged with battery to a police officer. In the abduction case, the prosecutor asked for a 48-hour hold, noting while the facts supporting the abduction are clear, it's unclear what happened, whether a firearm was used, or threats of violence, and that there were allegations of abuse made against the children's caretakers, which the state and child services is investigating. The prosecutor says what comes of that will have some effect on how the case proceeds. The defense asked that the girl be placed with a relative. However, a judge ordered the girl detained to give prosecutors more time to figure out what is going on. The girl is expected to be back in juvenile court.
Wow.
But you know,
and they're going to go through, I think that they're going through the process of trying to charge her still.
They are.
Yes. And And I want to say this. The reason why she had a so-called warrant for hitting a police officer, before this even happened, she got picked up for something, and she was basically trying to tell him, like, I don't want to go back to that house. I don't want to go back to the house. Y'all could take me anywhere, but I don't want to go back to the house. Y'all could take me to DT. Y'all could take me anywhere, but I do not want to go back to that house. And, she, and he's like, well, we can't do that. She said, well, what can I do to not go to that house? And he said, you gotta catch a charge. So she jumped up and hit him in the face.
Yeah.
What?
And I feel like this. When a young teen like that do that, mm-hmm. they screaming for help, and ain't nobody trying to look at the big picture. Like I said, you know, I educate better intervention and healthy relationships, so I know certain signs. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy, man.
So when the officer told her she would have to have a charge to not go back to the house, the assault became the charge.
Right. Yes.
So that's what they're trying to charge her with right now?
Assault on the officer.
And abductive. With the kidnapping. But God get the last word, and I feel like Monday come, we share something
now
good.
This is a court hearing that's supposed to take place Monday?
Yes.
At 2:30.
At 2:30?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Now, remind you, the court appearance, her first one took place yesterday. I was at the police station trying to get more answers on her at 7:45 for the two leading officers who I spoke with during Wednesday morning. So I go, and the officer who actually reported to the scene gave me a rundown on what took place from start to finish, even what took place when he went home and came back the next day. And like he said, what he reported, what was reported to him, totally was different when he returned back to work. So it's multiple things he had to do, what so have it. And I said, well, what's going on with my niece? Any updates or whatever? Not at this time, but the officer will give you a call at 11. Now, all yesterday, I'm waiting on the phone call. I never got that call. Had they would have told me she had court at that time, I would have presented myself at that courthouse. I would have stuck by her side, and I would have spoke for her on her behalf.
Does she have an attorney?
Not that we know of.
All right, yeah. Look, when we come back, I want to continue this 12-year-old young girl, being charged with assault on a police officer and abduction of her 4-year-old brother. We have the family, the cousins in studio. We're going to have more conversation about this when we get back. Truth Nation, stay locked. 101.7 The Truth. Tory Lowe Show. Look, we got family in studio of the 12-year-old girl who was being charged with abduction of her younger brother and assault on a police officer, had a warrant for her arrest. This story is all, it's a lot going on. Matter of fact, we may not even know exactly how she's even doing now, because we don't even know if, you know, who approved her attorney. I mean, who has custody of these children?
So say.
So the legal guardian is who?
Dominica.
And Dominica is who to the children?
That is their aunt on the dad's side.
So this is their aunt on the dad's side.
Correct.
The mom obviously lost primary custody,
right,
due to being involved with Child Protective Services or something.
Correct.
Like that.
Yes. Correct.
So, but these are still family members that are,
yes,
not foster parents.
Right.
What's going on, and what are these young children running from?
Abuse. Neglect.
I believe, like I said, I'm not here to bash nobody, but I believe it's something like that. And the only way we're going to find out the truth if she talk, if she re-speak her voice. And right now, she don't got no voice. And I couldn't just sit back.
I am her voice. Well, she has a voice.
Well, she got a voice, but I mean, for herself. Like,
yeah,
we heard voice right now. I just don't want her to be looked at a certain way because she only 12.
Right.
Correct.
Why would she not want to go back so bad that she would smack an officer to not go back there?
Okay.
I mean, the level of abuse, is it sexual abuse? Is it physical abuse?
All the above.
Oh, wow.
All the above.
Oh, wow.
Being bullied, being tortured, tormented by the guardian teenage daughters, being ridiculed, watching her sister being ridiculed, and the little brother being chastised and everything, protecting her siblings. But let's just say what pissed me off, actually, you aired two, but where was the third one?
So was it's a third sibling.
Yeah, Zayana.
How old is that sibling?
11.
And she's where now? Where is the 11-year-old at?
In protective custody, right with the brother.
What?
They were
okay,
together.
Okay, so were they all together?
They all was together.
So why did they only talk about two?
That's the thing.
And it's really three.
She only wanted that one.
Mm.
Technically, she wanted two. She wanted to off the 12-year-old because the 12-year-old spoke her heart.
Was rebellious in her eyes.
Right. And she spoke what was going on in the home.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like that. So let's get rid of this 12-year-old and let's keep the 11 and the 4-year-old. But it don't work like that. You took in three, so you have to guardian all three of them.
Oh, wow.
And I want to say this, too, because, you know, when I posted that video, I didn't know it was going to go viral. I was just trying to get the...
Well, that was huge situation going on the news.
Yeah.
But we needed you to say something.
So like,
or we wouldn't even be here right now trying to get deeper into what's actually happening.
Yeah, so like for the people, I just want to set this record straight. That is my blood cousin. That's my biological cousin, daughter. So that's my blood cousin. And I don't like the comments a lot of people was making.
Reading the comments.
Where was you the whole time? It's even me be technical. When I first moved here four years ago, 3.5 years ago, we had them.
Sure did.
We had them. They was at my house, too.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, you know how that go. People take their kids back. And, like, at the time, I started working two jobs, from two jobs to three jobs to four jobs to becoming almost to my career with the comedian.
Right.
So in my mind, I'm thinking, where they at? They are okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's in my mind. That's what I'm thinking. So that's why I never stepped in. But I used to hear a little stuff.
Because this is all family.
Yeah. But I used to hear a little stuff like a year ago. Like, they used to tell me stuff. But it just, I never had time to actually pull up on because the way my work hours is.
Mm-hmm.
I just left work to come here. Then when I leave here, I'm going to go to another job.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We got Deja on the lines. If you want to add to the conversation, 833-212-1017. Deja, how you doing, Deja?
How you doing, Tori Lowe? How you doing, family of the 12-year-old girl? I didn't catch y'all name, so I'm sorry.
Latanya.
Jermaine.
Nice to meet you, Latanya and Jermaine. I personally want to say this. I think that when it comes to little black girls and black women, period, our pain is always not taking the serious. It's always blunted or, oh, it's not really nothing going on. She's overreacting, or even it can be seen as aggression. So I feel like the way she's even being portrayed in the media right now as a 12-year-old who hit a police officer and abducted her 4-year-old brother without actually knowing why she's doing all of this is honestly my biggest gripe with this whole situation, because that little girl needs justice. Somebody did something to her in her care, and she had to do that in order to keep herself and her siblings safe, and she took all of the blame and accountability and whatever you want to call it on herself to do something about it, because the people who were supposed to guard her and be there for her did not protect her. And it's unfortunate that she's in this situation. And I just hope and pray that she'll continue to be a voice for her, because she really needs people in her corner right now, while there are people trying to paint her to be the bad person when all she's doing is protecting herself and her siblings from something tragic that happened.
Correct.
I agree.
Yeah.
And
big time.
It was an extreme situation.
Yeah.
So she had to take extreme measures.
Yes. Let's just say in the home, over the course of 2 years, countless calls with different officers reporting to the home. Countless CPS calls trying to get intervention. But every time there was an intervention, they took the children back.
Oh, wow.
Let's just say my sister had her own kids in her care for more than 6 months. She was still clothing them, feeding them, sheltering them, taking them to school. The school contact my sister because the guardian did not take the kids to school.
They was collecting a check.
That's the only thing. They wasn't taking the kids to school for a whole 2 years. My sister took her kids to school on time, every time. So when they say, oh, it's the mom this, the mom that, the mom still was taking care of her kids. That's why her kids went straight to the mother. So you want to say, let's take these kids, rip this family apart? No, you actually should give them back because the mom is showing you she still can, you know, keep her family together, take care of her kids.
What is the mom's status with the children? Have she been, her rights have been terminated, or she still has rights, you know, without being terminated?
In legal stance, my sister still have rights.
Okay.
Although her termination rights was taken from her, she still have legal rights to her kids.
Right. So sometimes when Child Protective Services take the children, they just have the children in another care. That's temporary custody.
Temporary, yeah.
But after a while, they'll get a TPR. They'll terminate the right.
Right.
After 2 years or so.
Right.
So has the termination of rights taken place?
The termination of rights took in place for two other children because they were adopted out. But these three was under a guardianship. Guardianship can be reversed.
Okay.
Meaning
yeah.
she can get right. these ones back, but not the little two.
Mm. So the little, it's more children. How many children total?
It's five total.
Okay, so two are already adopted out, the younger ones.
Yes.
So these are the three that are at the relatives,
mm-hmm.
and they're in this situation due to alleged abuse,
right.
mistreatment.
Right.
And the older, this is the oldest daughter.
Right.
She acted out in a way where now the media has gotten the attention.
Correct.
Social media and the community is paying attention to this.
Yes.
What do you believe, Tanya, needs to happen so we can get to the bottom of this?
Everything needs to be reversed, and the guardians need to be in the position my niece is in. The hot seat needs to be on them. Because they falsified this story to go nationwide to get attention. But what they didn't think, when you put out an Amber Alert, oh, once they find the kids, they'll bring them back to me. Not this time, baby. When you do an Amber Alert, that's nationwide.
Right.
Everyone goes looking for the kids. It hits everything. Then you have FBI agents, other detectives trying to find kids. But you wasn't thinking in your right state of mind, because at the time when you completed this rational act, you were somewhere else, you and your boyfriend. You see what I'm saying? So always report something that's relevant, that's real. Don't be under the influence when you report a faulty story like this, because it will backfire.
Well, thank you for coming on, because I'll tell you this. The community now has an interest of what takes place with this young woman. And thank you, Jermaine, for going live and speaking out. Thank you, LaTanya, for coming, mm-hmm. because you've been dealing with this situation for the longest.
Yeah, I was part of it.
And now we're at the situation where she's about to be charged, so she needs a voice to fight for her at this point, because it seems like her abuse, the things that she was lashing out against, has been completely ignored. Mm-hmm. And this seems like a boiling point.
Yes.
And now she's facing
whatever they throw at her.
Whatever the charges are. That's why I asked, does she have an attorney?
No.
How does that look? I mean, she can't face trial without an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So how is she going to appear in court?
They told us they couldn't tell us anything about the trial or anything about this case because we're not part of the party and we're not the guardians.
They basically... Because we was actually there today trying to get her. Because we was looking at the news. News said 48 hours for a family relative to come and get her. So we are blood family. So we try to go get her.
Right.
And the hassle and the not being mindful of how we felt, it threw me off today. Threw me off this morning. But as my profession, I got to be professional at all times. So I calmed down a little bit. I made a couple calls.
Mm-hmm.
And just like God worked, we will hopefully we pray and we find out some good news Monday. And I'm praying that they release her to me or my cousin Tanya.
Well, I want to definitely get involved and be where I need to be, because I'll tell you this, I deal with a lot of CPS situations over the years, mm-hmm. but this one
took the cake.
It was a lot going on, a lot of moving parts, and she definitely needs a voice. So she definitely needs the community mm-hmm. to get involved in this, because she may end up being charged with a felony for the rest of her life.
And that's
trying to fight for her siblings yeah. and find a way out of what she was going through.
Correct.
And that's my fear. That's really my fear. I don't want her to be traumatized. I don't want her mm-hmm. to be embarrassed. I don't want her to be belittled. You know what I'm saying? I don't want her to have a case, you know what I'm saying, and growing up and can't do certain things. Because right now, she don't even know if somebody coming to get her or not.
Wow.
Like, and why
or
say
anyone I'm fighting for her.
So, like, I say I'd be wrong as a family member and just sit there and don't say nothing, don't do nothing. I would be wrong as a big cousin to just not do nothing. So, yes, I'm going to step up. I'm totally going to step up. And I got the resources to back me up.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can only say that mm-hmm. we're going to have to take this step by step. It's a lot of moving parts, especially when Child Protective Services is involved, guardianship, all of these things. Definitely need an attorney, somebody to navigate through this situation. And I'm going to try to work and see if I can grab somebody, a family law attorney, to try to get involved in this as well.
Correct.
All right. Well, we'll keep everybody up to date. Any last words?
I just want to say thank you for all the people that was positive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was giving good feedback and not being negative and not trying to
bash us.
Because they don't know our family.
Right.
They don't know what we went through. They don't know how it's going. Because mm-hmm. me personally, I don't like to put none of my personal stuff on the internet. And still to this day, like this day, even though it go viral, I still feel some type of way because I don't put on my personal stuff. I just put.
Right.
I just want to say to the guardians and their side, just be mindful and respectful and stop contacting my sister, making her think her children are at her house to provoke her. Just show some respect and pray, because they're going to come for you. And, you know, I want justice for my niece on that side. Because you shouldn't have made this story up. You shouldn't have put her in this position or her siblings. You shouldn't have done none of that. I want the tables returned on them. I want them in the hot seat and see why they made this story up. What was in their mind?
What
was
the truth?
Right. What,
yeah.
Why you won't tell the truth? Just lay it out. What do you have to hide to put my niece in this type of endangerment situation for her safety, her life, everything? When you could just gave back the kids and close your door. You don't do that. So, but I do thank you for allowing us to be on the show. But yeah, I the tables need to be turned now.
Well, once again, we're going to keep everybody updated on this. It seems like this is a developing situation going on. And once again, if there's any call to actions, we'll let everybody know. And thank y'all for coming in. Jermaine, LaTanya, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
When we come back, Truth Nation, we'll be joined by advocate author Elizabeth Brown. Stay locked in. One-on-one, serving the truth. Tory Lowe Show. Joining me on the show, advocate, author, Elizabeth Brown. We still got the family of the 12-year-old in studio. Elizabeth Brown, a tough story of a 12-year-old girl that was crying for help, trying to get herself out of the situation that she was in, and her younger sibling, And also, I'm finding out that there was another sibling that was in the group that was never mentioned, Elizabeth Brown. What's going on? How you doing, Elizabeth?
I'm salute, King. It's Friday. Again, we knew that something was wrong with what was being told. Again, the recklessness of how we are criminalized in the news. For them to just, you know, put that out there like that. What it took. Because me and you deal with missing girls, well, children, for the Amber Alert to go out and them to criminalize this 12-year-old who literally crying for help is above and beyond egregious. Again, we talk about, you know, how the media portray us, what comes first, whether it was a crime when you were 16 years old or whatever. They put up, you know, your mugshot first. The sad reality of it is the one caller who called in, who stated, you know, how black women, just black people in totality, when our cry for help comes out, it gets downplayed or overlooked pretty much, you know. And the sad reality is, you know, when I first heard them saying that this child has stole a car, kidnapped her little brother. I'm like, how do you kidnap your sibling? First of all, that this baby is out here. I mean, just turned her into a complete monster in 2.5 seconds. There's never the questioning of why or what the cause of this child to move either way. But the reality of our community and how we are portrayed in these news feeds, how it's not thought about, how we're criminalized first. And then again, I was just talking about children's court and juvenile court. And we was just talking about the children who have been massively lead poisoned, how they wind up in the juvenile detention center and then on to the adult penal system due to the fact of whatever behaviors they're having. And nobody who massively poisoned, lead poisoned, or allowed this to take place is ever arrested. Salute to the family members that are in the building. Thank you so much for being the voice for this young lady. And also, I would advise to pay little to no attention to the voices who are being negative, because the reality is, you're always going to have individuals who vibrate in low saying this and saying that. When you know the facts, the truth don't need you to argue for it. Mm-hmm. Continue to stand 10 toes down on what it is that you know. And thank you for speaking out, because it needs to be spoken out about. Usually this goes on in silence. Again, they'll never tell you the narrative behind why this child hit the police. But again, if she's willing to hit the police, where she was living was hell. Okay?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
well, look, when we come back, I want to wrap this up. I want the family to say what they need the community to do. And I want to get your final thoughts on the show as usual, Elizabeth Brown. When we come back, we'll have more conversation, Truth Nation. Stay locked in.
Don't touch that dial. The Tory Lowe Show will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
One on one, seven the truth. Tory Lowe Show. Joining me on the show, advocate, author, Elizabeth Brown. We still got the family of the 12-year-old in studio. Elizabeth Brown, a tough story of a 12-year-old girl that was crying for help, trying to get herself out of the situation that she was in, and her younger sibling. And also I'm finding out that there was another sibling that was in the group that was never mentioned, Elizabeth Brown. What's going on? How you doing, Elizabeth?
Salute, King. It's Friday. Again, we knew that something was wrong with what was being told. Again, the recklessness of how we are criminalized in the news. For them to just, you know, put that out there like that. What it took, because me and you deal with missing girls. Well, children, for the Amber Alert to go out and them to criminalize this 12-year-old who literally crying for help is above and beyond egregious. Again, we talk about, you know, how the media portray us, what comes first, whether it was a crime when you were 16 years old or whatever, they put up, you know, your mugshot first. The sad reality of it is the one caller who called in, who stated, you know, how Black women, just Black people in totality, when our cry for help comes out, it gets downplayed or overlooked, pretty much, you know. And the sad reality is, you know, when I first heard them saying that this child has stole a car, kidnapped her little brother, I'm like, how do you kidnap your sibling? First of all, that this baby is out here, I mean, just turned her into a complete monster in 2.5 seconds. There's never the questioning of why or what the cause of this child to move either way, but the reality of our community and how we are portrayed in these news feeds, how it's not thought about, how we're criminalized first. And then again, I was just talking about children's court and juvenile court. And we was just talking about the children who have been massively lead poisoned, how they wind up in the juvenile detention center and then on to the adult penal system due to the fact of whatever behaviors they're having. And nobody who massively poisoned, lead poisoned, or allowed this to take place is ever arrested. Salute to the family members that are in the building. Thank you so much for being the voice for this young lady. And also, I would advise to pay little to no attention to the voices who are being negative, because the reality is, you're always going to have individuals who vibrate in low saying this and saying that. When you know the facts, the truth don't need you to argue for it. Mm-hmm. Continue to stand 10 toes down on what it is that you know. And thank you for speaking out, because it needs to be spoken out about. Usually this goes on in silence. Again, they'll never tell you the narrative behind why this child hit the police. But again, if she's willing to hit the police, where she was living was hell. Okay?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
well, look, when we come back, I want to wrap this up. I want the family to say what they need the community to do. And I want to get your final thoughts on the show as usual, Elizabeth Brown. When we come back, we'll have more conversation, Truth Nation. Stay locked in.
Don't touch that dial. The Tory Lowe Show will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
101, 7 The Truth, Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show. Look, this was a show that, I'll say this, it was a lot of things we talked about today. And this story about this 12-year-old that is now in court, being charged or potentially charged as a juvenile. Once again, we got the family. We got Jermaine. We got LaTanya in the studio. Elizabeth Brown, once again, another situation with Child Protective Services and families.
Absolutely. Child Protective Services and their failures. We know CPS is a mess. We have stood with several families. We know what's taking place. We know, again, like the sister just stated, when the mother is doing what she needs to do. Again, me and you done talked about this all the time. Instead of giving the mother help to maintain what it is she need to do for her kids, they would rather take the children, because we talked about that on your show as well, how CPS is triple dipping. You know, when it comes to taking these kids, give them to a complete stranger and pay, was it $10,000? Don't quote me, a month to somebody who was a complete stranger, versus helping the mother with funds to take care of her children so they don't have to be in a home. And when they are violated in these homes that CPS place them in, the individuals who violated these children don't get charged. They just move the kids to another home, medicate them to make sure they're receiving more monies when these individuals receive these children. Again, that's a whole nother overhaul for a whole nother time, King, when we're talking about CPS and the mess that they created.
Well, I want the family to let us know, what can we as a community do to try to assist in moving forward? What do you need the community to do, those that are out there listening?
Man, pay attention to the facts. Pay attention to what our kids say, not just my kid, but everybody's kid, because no child need to go through nothing like this.
Make a safety plan, exit. So when kids face tortures or be in danger, have an escape route so they'll know from start to finish what to do, where to go, who to call, where to meet up, because that's technically what actually took place with my niece.
Oh, wow.
Me and her made a plan on Sunday. We sat down, we mapped a plan this time for the last time.
Wow.
And that Amber Alert, which was false, took place. That messed her plan up. Because she was at safety. I was getting them out. I've been working on this for 2 years. I was getting them out.
And I'm going to say this too. How you think I knew
where they was
out the gate that they wasn't kidnapped? They wasn't in danger. I said that when the video went viral. I know they not kidnapped. I know she didn't induct that child. I know she not armed and dangerous.
Right.
Yeah. Even on the news broadcast, when I said we mapped out a plan.
This seems like not,
no Amber Alert. It wasn't no Amber. She didn't take her brother. She took him to safety.
This seems like a situation that had hit a boiling point, because this had been going on. This is not the first time that they have left that house.
Correct.
This is not the first time that y'all had to get involved and try to mitigate some of the worst ideas going on, abuse. Yeah. I still ain't, I mean, if you willing to give us the information, I still don't understand the level of abuse that was going on. Because was it sexual abuse? Physical abuse? I mean, what?
Physical, verbal, sexual.
Wow.
Mental. But the physical, you know, especially on an artistic little child who can't speak, but he most definitely can tell you who hit him in the home.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke those words. The middle child, who they never mentioned, she's starting to speak up. Downright to the oldest, from start to finish. when the officer detective asked, she said, where do you want me to start? How about this? I'll start from worst to good. We're not going to start from good to worst. Let's start from worst to good.
And this was all ignored.
All ignored.
And now the child, the 12-year-old, is being charged. Wow. Wow.
Punished again. Violated again.
Mm-hmm.
By the same system that's supposed to protect him.
Supposed to protect her. And she asked him downright, am I in trouble for anything because I didn't do nothing? You woke the 4-year-old and 11-year-old up out their sleep to get them ready, put their clothes on so the police can come in and get them as a rescue mission. So they messed up plan.
So they put this false narrative out there.
Yeah.
That the kids were in danger when they was really running from danger.
Right.
Got them and almost took them back to the danger.
Exactly. Which they kept taking them back to the danger for a whole 2 years. The kids kept calling. CPS kept showing up.
And this is on record.
On record. They concealing it.
Wow.
Concealing it.
So they villainized this 12-year-old for trying to save her siblings.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Wow.
And this is why we're upset. This is why I'm pissed. This is why I'm speaking out. I'm showing up. Because not only are you making a mockery of my nieces and nephews, but now you taking this to a whole nother level.
A whole nother level.
I want the community to speak out.
And when this is all said and done, the one that was sexually abused, physically abused, verbally abused, is the one that's being accused.
That's locked up right now.
Wow.
And then on top of it, when you talk about sexual, when a child is touched on by not only someone you're dating or living with, you look at her and you tell her, what do somebody want to touch you for? You ain't nobody to touch on or look at. Well, hell, he did it. And she came to you for assistance and help because she trusted you and you bashing her.
And the 12-year-old told you what happened.
Told her exactly what
told
happened.
Told you.
Yeah, she told me.
You
on
know
Sunday,
what happened.
On Sunday, yes. She told me out of her own mouth. And my jaw dropped. I said, niece, let's make up a plan right now. I told her to get a track phone from Family Dollar. Get a $5 track phone because she was going back for evidence. I need evidence against them because I'm tired of going back. Now, this is her mind speaking. I called the police. CPS, and they just keep taking me back to this home. I just need evidence. But you know what? She got evidence. She got evidence in the phone. Her mom gave her an iPhone that the guardian took from her that won't come give it back.
Is it locked?
No, it's not locked. The guardian have it.
All right. Well, look, we're going to continue to try to help and assist, and I appreciate y'all for coming in.
Thank you.
Jermaine, LaTanya, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Elizabeth Brown. I appreciate you
for that involvement.
It seems like we got a lot of work to do as usual.
Absolutely. I'm here for it. Let's get it.
All right.
One love. Salute.
God bless y'all. Talk to you soon. All right. Thank you to everybody that joined the show today. Everybody out there in Radio Land. Salute to everybody in the chat. Another powerful chat. If you have not joined the chat community, you're missing out on a whole another show going on in the chat. Look, let me tell you something. We got to get to the bottom of this, and we are going to try to aid and assist in any way we can. We cannot allow a victim to be victimized. Hey, look, keep your head on a swivel. Green don't always mean go and look both ways before you cross the streets. I love you. Dr. Ken Harris up next.